Take your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Thanks to everybody who helped us with our teacher appreciation last Sunday. I had a great time, a number of teachers here. But I found out I had one that played possum on me last Sunday. You know, we asked for all the teachers, how long you've been teaching, what not to stand up. And I think the longest time was 41 years. I didn't notice, but Colin Gillespie, her dad was here, and he didn't stand up because he wanted somebody else to get the prize. But he taught for 55 years. 55 years. My goodness, I got nervous when I heard that. And he's so gracious, such a great guy. He didn't want to take it. But thanks to all of you that helped. I had a great time with teachers. We just love teachers here. All righty. I get to talk about my favorite subject tonight. I love, this is my favorite subject tonight. We're going to talk tonight about the God chasers. We're going to talk about chasing God tonight. This is my thing right here. And of course, you know, when you're winding down in your last few days, you get to talk about whatever you want to. So we're going to talk about this. All righty. I'm going to dump your thinking upside down, your theology upside down. I'm going to dump church upside down. We're going to go to scripture. We're going to look at one verse. Hebrews 11, 6 says this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you know what that means? It means exactly what it says. There's nothing deep about that. It's impossible to please him. And then it defines it. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That Greek word diligently seek, you could put chase. God's a rewarder of people that chase him. You know what faith is? Faith is to believe there's a God and I'm going to chase him. And what else is it? He's going to do something for me because I chase him. Without faith, it's impossible. Tell me what he's looking for. Tell me what he's looking for. Without? Faith. He's looking for faith. Well, define faith for me. There is a God. I'm going to chase him. And I'm going to find him. And he's going to reward me. That's faith. It's that simple. And this needs to be the focus of our lives. That we spend our lives chasing him. Right, look at that verse again. Tell me the one thing he honors. See, religion's taught you all your life. He honors behavior. If you can quit cussing, he'll be good to you. What does he honor? He honors people who chase him. He honors people who run him down, people who pursue him, people who go after him. All right, I want you to define Christianity in America for me. All right, here's two major definitions. If you think of Christianity in America, it's a lifestyle. I've quit cussing and raising hell and drinking and acting like a fool, and I'm going to try to be nice. Right, that's Christianity in America. Or it's involvement in church. You know, I go to church, I work in the church, I teach in the church, and most of it put them two together. Christianity in America is that I have straightened up my life and I'm trying to be good and I'm involved in a church. That's Christianity in America, but it's not in the Bible. What's the purest definition of Jesusism, Christianity, whatever you want to call it in the Bible? It is to chase, to live to chase God. You chase God. And that's what it is in Scripture, all right? Define chasing for me. Has anybody ever watched one of them movies where the police are chasing after somebody? That's chasing people. You ever watch a football game when a guy catches a ball and the cornerback or the linebacker, a guy on the other team, runs them down and tackles them? That's chasing somebody. What does God honor? People who chase him. Listen, faith is when you believe he's there. And maybe you got number one covered. Right, what's number two? And I'm going to chase him down. I'm going to spend my life chasing him. I'm not just going to believe in him. I'm going to chase him. Now, is this scripture? Let me show you my favorite verse. This is Genesis to Revelation. People who chased God. I want to show you my favorite verses on this in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew 13, let me point something out to you here. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. There's a reason people find things. Guess what it is? Bingo. I don't know why I'm teaching this. Y'all get up here and do it. It's because they're looking for something. The reason you find something is because you're looking for it. All right? Matthew chapter 13. These are my favorite verses on the subject. Some of my favorite in the Bible. Verse 44, Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like what? Duty. It's like duty. No, it's like treasure. And what's the next word? It's hidden. God is hidden. What he's doing is hidden. In a field, and a man found it and hid it. And for what? What's the motivation of the kingdom of heaven? Why do I do what I do? Not duty, not fear, joy. The kingdom of heaven, I found something. It was hidden. And because of the joy of what I found, I'll give up everything I've got to get what I've found. That's the true kingdom. Now, that's not American religion, but that's the kingdom of God. All right, let me go deep. Let me ask you a deep question out of that verse. Why would a man find treasure hidden in a field? Do you just sit on your fanny and hope it'll come to you? Do you sit and wonder if it's there? Why do you find treasure? You're looking for it. You got to put out effort. You go looking for it. You get you a shovel and you get you one of them magnetometers or one of the metal things and you go looking and you get dirty and you ain't got time for that. I'm looking for that treasure. You search for it. You find treasure because you're searching for it. There is the kingdom of God's not about sitting on your fanny hoping something good will happen. I shouldn't say that in church. The kingdom of God is about looking for something passionately, desperately. And guess what? You find it. And then because of the joy of what you found, you said, nothing else is important in my life anymore. I found what I'm looking for. All right, he tells the same thing another way in the next verse. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And he found one pearl so valuable to him, he gave up everything he had to get it. Tell me why he found that beautiful pearl. This isn't hard. Why'd he find it? He was searching for it. Now, you know, we're not talking about pearls, treasure boxes. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the presence of God. We're talking about the goodness of God. Why do you find it? Because you're looking for it. You don't sit passively. You go looking for it. This is all through the Bible. Every day of the life of Jesus, Mark chapter 5. Don't look at it. I'll just quote it to you. There was a lady who was bleeding for 12 years. She couldn't get any help. She said, if I could touch that man, I'd get what I want. And she was in an emaciated state. She was weak and there was a crowd. She had to fight through. She had to elbow fishermen to get through there. She might've had to crawl under him a little bit, but she fought. And when she touched his robe, she was healed. And Jesus said, well, what happened? He said, somebody touched me. Simon said, everybody's touching you. He said, I don't mean like that. Somebody got power out of me. And the woman was scared to death and not scared. She was scared. And Jesus said, no, be at peace. Your faith made you whole. Why'd she get it? Because she sat and hoped something would happen. But if she went after it. Blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting on the side of the road. He hears this ruckus. He said, well, what's all this? They said, Jesus is walking. He said, Jesus! He starts screaming and the people said, be quiet. He screamed all the louder. Amen. And Jesus turned and said, what do you want? A blind man's hollering for you and you want to know what he wants? He said, I want to see. And Jesus said, behold. And all of a sudden, they're cheering for him now. They're telling him, shut up a minute ago. Why'd that man get healed? Because he waited. He was a praying and a hoping. He cried out and went after it. All through the Bible, you see this over and over. The Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was demonized, she came to Jesus and said, you got to heal my daughter. He didn't say a word. And they said, get rid of her. She's bothering us. He said, I didn't come for y'all. She said, yes, you did. You got to heal my daughter. She told God, yes, you did. He said, I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, you'll help me. He said, it's not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. She said, even the dogs get the crumbs. He said, I can't take it no more. You're healed. She chased God down even when he told her to go away. This is all through the Bible. John chapter 7, verse 37. If any man's lazy, if any man thirsts, run me down. Let him come to me. Chase me. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 says this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. The Bible is a book about people chasing God and, listen to me, finding him. It's a book about chasing him and finding him. I don't want to take a minute. I'm big on this right here. I want people to find out why they were created. I don't want you to stand in front of your creator and say, oops. Sorry about that, Doc. Can we do reincarnation? Let me try again. Nope, no reincarnation. You get one shot at your life. Two great days in a man's life. The day he's born and the day he finds out why. Do you know why you're born? Now, all through this Bible, it tells you he created you, but there's only really one place where he tells you why. You need to memorize this. Acts chapter 17, so you can show this to friends if they ever ask. Demons, you need to know why you were created. You weren't created to go to church and wear a necktie and not burp. You need to find out why you were created. How many of you believe that we're created by him? How many of you believe as Ephesians 2:10 says, we are the work of his hand. We're the creation of his handiwork. Jeremiah chapter 1, before I knit you in the womb, I knew you. Psalm 139. My hand was there in the deepest place of your mother. I knit you. There was, we were created by God. We were created for a purpose. And the purpose is found in Acts 17. I don't know if you're familiar with Acts 17. Paul goes to a place called Mars Hill. And Mars Hill was it would be the Oxford University of today. It was the center of brilliance and education and learning in the world at the time. It's in Rome, and he goes into Mars Hill, and this is where everybody sat around and discussed deep stuff. And he is so bothered because every place he goes, they got idols everywhere. Statues to the god of fertility, the sun god, the rain god, just everywhere these idols. And the Bible said in Acts 17, these people just sat around, didn't do anything except discuss something new. Well, one day he got his chance to speak at the Areopagus or Mars Hill. And I want you, he got all their attention. Watch what he said to them. In verse 23, I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. They had so many gods that in case they missed one, they just put a statue up for the God won't even know about you yet. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim. What do you say? I know him. And I'm fixing to tell you about him. All right, watch this. God, verse 24, who made the world and everything in it. We okay? Y'all all right with that? You believe he made everything? Yes. Mountains, sea, ocean, people? All right. He said he made everything in this world. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He didn't dwell in a house made with hands. He's not worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. Why are you breathing? Because he's giving it to you. Now watch these words. He's made from one blood, or actually literally it means one couple, Adam and Eve. He made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. He determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. You know what that means? He chose the day you'd be born. He chose the place you'd be born. September 7, 1957, in a Catholic hospital in Charlotte, a baby was born. That was me. And you put your date and your place in there. He chose that day. He chose the day you were born. He chose the place you'd be born. Look at the first word in the next verse. So, there it is. He's fixing to tell you why you was born. Can you see clear that said he created everything there is? He chose the day you'd be born. He chose the place you'd be born. Here's the reason you were born. So, I created you on a set day so that we should seek the Lord and search for him and find him. What was I created to do? Chase God. I was created to look for God. I was actually created to go looking for him, and not just look for him, but what? Find him. That was the purpose of my creation. You say, well, Brother Brian, I found him. I got saved 23 years ago. No. You're going to heaven now. You ain't found him. You maybe think you found all there is. No, we spend our lives chasing him. We spend our lives just pursuing God and everything he is. And then it goes on to say, and in him we live and move and have our being. You're going to stand in front of him one day, and if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're going to heaven, but you're going to miss the best life you could have had unless you spend your life chasing him. You need one goal in your life. Chase God. Pursue God. Because you were created to do it. You were just created to pursue him and chase him. That's to seek the Lord and find him. All right, let me ask you this. Let's read it again. Acts 17, 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for, you know what grope means, don't you? Reach out and find him. He's not far from anybody. And I'm going to ask this question. What would happen if you sought God? Say you start seeking God with all your heart. What would happen if you found him? You never find him. You find him progressively. Does that make sense? You never find all he is. The Bible's clear in 1 Corinthians 13 that one day we'll see all he is. But as you seek him, you find more and more of him. All right, let me ask you a question. You say, okay, what would it actually be like if I, quote, found God? What would that do? What would that be in my personal life if I really began to find him? All right, let me show you 8 things from Scripture that happens if I begin to chase God and pursue God and run after God and live to go after him, and I begin to start finding him. What would happen to me? Number one, you would become more and more aware of his sweet presence. You just become aware of God. Do you know there are people that don't even know he exists? The thought of a God is the furthest thing from their mind. Well, it's not that he's not there. He is everywhere. It's just that the God of this world has blinded the minds of They have no awareness of him. As Jesus said in Matthew 16, Father, I thank you that you have hidden yourself from the arrogant, but you have shown yourself to the humble. You just become more and more aware of his presence. John chapter 14, verse 21 says this, walk with me, keep my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. You just begin to see more. You become more aware of him, like, there he is. The sweetness of God. He becomes real to you because you're finding him. Number two, because of who he is, you have more and more peace in your life. All of a sudden you just notice things don't bother me as much anymore. And then you get to the point where you begin to, it's sort of strange because you can't be bothered anymore. It's called peace. Then Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Let me tell you what the kingdom of God is. Remember, the kingdom of God is like a man searching for treasure. You're looking for it. You find it. It brings you joy. Listen what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, the presence of God begins to bring such peace in your life. You don't worry about the future. You don't worry about the past. You don't worry because you don't worry anymore. You just don't worry. You just, there's a quietness comes over you. You're just relaxed. That is the peace that, what does the Bible say about it? It passes understanding. Other people say, don't make no sense. How come you're not bothered? You're living in the same crazy land I am. Let me tell you why you're not bothered anymore. And there's a quietness about you. You found God. You're finding more of God. Guess why you find him? Because you're living to search for him. You just wake up every morning and say, I'm looking for you. Before I get out of bed, I tell him every morning, I'm looking for you today. You just live your life looking for him. All right, number three, if the kingdom of God, let me bless you. Turn to Psalm 131. Let me throw this in about peace. We have an absence of peace in this nation right now. Between people and in the hearts of people. Good Christian people don't have peace today. They're nervous and upset and bothered, worried about their children's futures. I get in trouble all the time for asking people, where's your great God? I thought he could take care of you. What difference do you don't find peace by looking for peace. You find peace by looking for God. But I'm going to show you, let me show you what peace is. This is peace right here, Psalm 131. I love this psalm. How many of y'all get tired of me saying I love this passage? All right, Psalm 131. Now look at this. Lord, my heart is not cocky, nor my eyes arrogant. I do not concern myself with great matters, things too deep for me. I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mama. Like a weaned child is my soul inside me. Oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. What do you say? All this craziness going on around me doesn't bother me a bit. I am like a baby who's laid his head against his mama's chest and gone to sleep. That's my soul. You know what that's called? That's peace. When that peace comes into your heart, well, you seek for him and you find his peace. Number three is more joy. Wherever God is, there's joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you don't find happiness by searching for happiness. It ain't going to happen. The Bible doesn't say God rewards those who seek happiness. God rewards those who chase him. Well, as you keep chasing him, guess what happens? All of a sudden you notice, I'm so much happier than I used to be. Now, my theological friends, they argue joy is not the same thing as happiness. And it looks to me like you ain't got neither one of them. But listen to me. They're close enough, okay? Happy is the man whose God is the Lord, the Bible says. Joy is just this deep, overflowing, it's just joy. And you just wonder, where's this come from? Well, guess where it comes from? Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. And the more you find God, the more joy that comes into your life. And then once you get joy in your life, guess what you can do with your life? Then you can enjoy your life. Because enjoy is when joy is inside of you. And you just enjoy your life so much. Nobody could enjoy their lives in these crazy days. Well, depart the planet. Because it ain't going to get no better. The planet's not going to get any better. You need to get better. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Number four, let me tell you what happens wherever he is. As you seek God, more hope is going to rise up in your heart. You know what hope is, don't you? It's excitement. It's excitement about the future. You may not even know what's going to happen, but inside of you, because of his presence, there's just this. Good things are fixing to happen. Hope is the future expectation of good. What does the Bible say hope is in Hebrews 11:1? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, if you ain't hoping for nothing, you can't have no faith. Faith starts with hope. But where does hope come from? Romans 15:13. May the God of hope. Listen to me, everybody. Our God is a God of hope. That when you lose hope, you've lost touch with Him. And when you find Him, hope's going to rise up in His heart right here. Hope about your marriage, your life, your future, your family. Hope just shows up where He is. I'm going to quote it again. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When I see people that just have no hope, somebody's not chasing God. Because wherever He is, hope is. And number five, this is going to surprise you. As you chase Him more, the love of God is going to be manifest more in your heart. And it's a three-way love. You're going to love Jesus like crazy. You're going to start loving yourself like the Bible says too. And you're going to start loving other people so much it'll surprise you. You can't, listen, people say, I'm trying to love these people. Quit it. Quit. You're not told to chase loving people. You're told to chase God. Listen to what the Bible says, Romans 5:5. The love of God is put into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given to us. You don't need to try to love somebody. Let Him fill you with His love. Well, you're going to kill yourself trying to love your mother-in-law, and then you end up slapping her because it don't work. It just don't work. The flesh profits nothing. Only the Spirit can give life. Quit trying to love your mom-in-law and chase God. And one day she'll be the sweetest old lady in the world to you. Why did we make this thing so complicated? You say, well, you think the answer to everything is chase God. Now you're cooking with propane. Come on, man, get in the ball game. Chase Him. You just begin to love Jesus like crazy. You'll see yourself different. And all of a sudden, people are just going to look different to you. And you'll just begin to love the unlovely. And you'll have a sympathetic heart toward people. And you're just going, when did I get like this? When you started chasing Him. Let me give you a couple more. Number six, you're going to delight in life. This is your life, Doc. He did not create us to suck eggs and suffer miserably through. And dumb songs like just a few more weary days and I'll fly away, that's unscriptural. Listen to what the Bible said. He who would love his life and see good days. Listen to what He said. You want to enjoy your life and see good days. Then the closer you get to God, the more you're going to enjoy your life. I mean, it's just, you just think the little things become so dear to you. You just wake up and you're thrilled. I know what you're thinking. If I was your age and I woke up, I'd be thrilled too. You can do this young. You delight in the, like that old great hymn by Ricky Skaggs, the simple life is the life for me, a steak and a knife and a glass of tea, and the Lord up above who knows I'm trying to live a simple life in a difficult, you just enjoy life so much. You know why? Because you're chasing God. Because wherever He is, there's great joy in life. You just delight in it. Number seven, now this is surprising. Don't try to help people. Chase God. Abide in me. Chase God. He who abides in me bears much fruit. And you will see things happen in people's lives and you didn't even try to do it. You'll just say something to somebody and they'll start crying and say, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And you'll go, where'd that come from? You, by accident, you'll start helping more people chasing God than you were when you was trying to orchestrate all these ministries. People, we got to serve the Lord. No, you don't. Chase the Lord. If you will chase the Lord, the ministry will be there. All right, Jesus said, I'm the branch, you're the vine. Just abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. And I grow grapes and apples and stuff like that. I have never walked by my grapevine and heard this. I do not hear grapes straining to pop out. You understand what I'm saying? There's no effort. They just hang on. Why do grapes grow? It's not the branch, it's the vine. What happens? Something invisible comes through that vine into that branch and makes the fruit show up. Tell me what it is. Sap. That's not the technical name for it. You can go to NC State and find out what the technical name for it. It's just a fluid that goes through there. Why does the fluid get out here to the grapes? Because of the connection between the branch and that. Come on, guys. I chase Jesus and the Spirit of God flows through me and stuff just happens. There it is. I was trained to do ministry as a young man and liked to kill myself and aggravated people in the midst. I quit trying to do ministry, started chasing Jesus, and I do more by accident now. I wish I'd brought my phone. Let me share something with you. You just love Jesus and walk around being you. Sunday evening, I got an email. It came through the secretary back to me. Guy said, I want to tell you something. He said, you were walking into the 9 o'clock service Sunday morning. You passed me and you stopped and talked to me. He said, that surprised me. And then he said, let me tell you what happened. He said, I went into the service. He told me his story. He said, I'm going through my second divorce. I've not been a good dad. I've made terrible decisions. Me and my dad, I could never please my dad. Why does it always go back to this dad thing? And he talked about his relationship with his dad and talked about how life was just so wrong for him. And he said, I never believed that God could love somebody like me, but said, I listened to you today and I realized God knows my name. He cares about me and I can start my life over. You know, thank you for speaking to me and then speaking to me. Well, now, do you think I got up Sunday morning and said, let me tell you what I'm going to do today? Did you just chase God? Stuff like that happens. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. It will happen in the gas station. It'll happen in your house. Quit trying to do great things for God and just chase him. He who abides in me bears much fruit. It's just, all right, I belabored that too much. Let me give you one more, 8. You'll see his hand. You'll begin to walk around. You'll begin to go, that was him right there. God did that. There ain't no way I could have done that. God got this family out of trouble. God paid that bill. God got me that promotion. There was, if you chase God, you find him. To find God doesn't mean you go, whoa. It's not like you're going to run across him somewhere. It means that he begins to work more and more in your life and you begin to see the peace and the joy and the activity and the, you just become aware he's right here. There he is doing things for me. He's being good to me. But why does all that happen? Not because you're good. He's a rewarder of those who chase him. What does diligently mean? Every day, all day long, all the time. You just seek God. You just look for him. All right, let me help you with something. I pray this don't offend you. If it offends you, you needed it. What you gonna do, fire me? All right. Let me tell you what kills people in Christianity. Contentment. Contentment is a curse. You say, wait a minute, Brother Brown, I thought the Bible said we should be content. You're referring to Philippians chapter 4 that says, with food and clothing, we should be content. You need to be content with your possessions, but don't ever be content with God. Yes, sir. When you get content, you quit chasing. And there was the contentment is killing us. You need to have the heart of David that said this, as the deer, I'm quoting Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I get to appear in front of you? I'm hunting one day in a deer stand, and I'm watching this deer. I watched it run out of a field, and it came and it stopped right in front of me, and it was just so thirsty. And I could just hear it. It was doing like that, and it was looking for the water, and I just watched it. I just watched it. It ran all around, and finally it found the stream. That's my heart toward God. Now, that's not only David in Psalm 42. That's the Bible. Listen, let me tell you something about your heart. Let me tell you about your heart. Your heart really does long for God. Madonna's heart longs for God. She just don't know it. That's why we're looking for the junk. He created this heart to chase him. But we think it's possessions, fame, cheap, loveless sex, legal sex, marriage sex, I don't care. We just think it's all this other stuff. Your heart longs for God. Chase the man. You say, Brother Brian, I've been to church and it bores me to tears. And you think it bores you? Yeah. I didn't say church. I said God. Big difference. All right, do you understand that? I've taught you this from Scripture. The Old Testament is a physical picture of truth. You got that? What's the greatest picture in the Old Testament of my life? When the children of Israel were broken out of bondage through the wilderness to the Promised Land. Promised Land is not heaven. Promised Land is everything God wants to give you in this life. Got it? All right, now listen to me. Listen to this picture right here. He broke them out of Egypt in bondage, which is a picture of him rescuing me from the power of Satan. Pharaoh is a type of the devil and Satan in the Bible. He has transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. Guess how they got away from their enemy? They had to walk through the Red Sea. Get it? What can wash away my sins? A little wilderness journey through there, some tough times. But they were to go to the promised land. The promised land is God's best life. They got almost there, 12 tribes of Israel, 2.5 tribes. The tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half a tribe of Manasseh said, we want to stop right here. We don't want to go in the promised land. And Moses railed on them and said, he brought you out of bondage to take you there. And they said, no, we're happy right here where we're at. And they were, the Bible said they were content to dwell there. And they stopped right there and spent their lives and died right there. And they were so close, you could see into the promised land across the river, but they didn't get there. What's that a picture of? Christians who stopped right where they were at. And they just froze right there. That's a picture of people who are just content. If God never does another thing for me, I'm happy. No, we don't want to be like that. We're the God chasers. Listen to me, and I don't care if you're the most spiritual person in this room, you hadn't touched 1% of what Jesus died to give you. Keep chasing, and you keep chasing. All right, let me point out something else about contentment. And this is pretty crazy. Y'all know what friendly fire is? It's when you shoot your own army. Nobody's mastered that like the Christian army. Can I get a witness? There's a picture in the Bible of friendly fire. It just shocks me. It shocks me to this day. We won't go there, but in Numbers chapter 14, the children of Israel got right to the promise. They were fixing to get everything they were delivered for. Remember, he sent 12 spies, said, go in there, look around, come back, tell them what it's like. So they came back, 10 of them said, oh, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but ain't no way we'll get killed over there. And everybody got upset. Two guys named Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, silence. God has given us that land. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. Listen to God. He's given us that land. And he said, they are our bread. God's going to give it to us. Let's go. Listen to what verse 10 said, Numbers 14, 10. And the people spoke of stoning them. What? You got a man stands up and says, don't stop where you're at. Come on, let's get everything God wants to give us. And the people want to kill him for that? His own people want to kill him for that? Let me make an announcement. In the American church, you decide I want everything God's got. Folks in the church will probably shoot at you. Ask somebody who knows. Do you know what? You keep shooting, I'm going to keep chasing. I don't matter to me. Son, listen to me. Do not let your group hold you back from going wherever Jesus wants to take you. I want everything he's got. That's why I'm a former Baptist. Can I get a witness? I'm a former Baptist, what I am. Years ago, let me just get controversial. You know, when you're leaving, you can just cause all kinds of grief. Years ago, one of the greatest books ever written is a book called The God Chasers. A guy named Tommy Tenney wrote it probably 20 years ago now. Tremendous. And it just goes through the Bible and modern history, talking about all the people who just pursued God and what they found because they just chased God from the heart. And that book got him banned from the Baptist bookstores. They banned the book. I thought, why'd you ban his book? I thought it was pretty good. Well, the official reason was because of a line that he wrote in there. I'm going to quote the line to you. Tell me what you think. Here's what he said. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with a mere argument. And for saying that, they kicked his book out of the Baptist bookstore. I don't know what they meant, but can I make an announcement? A man that hears the voice of God is never at the mercy of some guy that went to a school and learned something. A man that chases God and finds him is never at the mercy of some guy who's just going through the motions. God, that guy, I guess that'd get me banned from the Baptist bookstore. Listen to what Jesus said about that. John 6, you search the scriptures daily, for you think that in them you have life, but you're not willing to come, but the scriptures point to me, and you're not willing to come to me that you might experience life. Then it's not enough to study the Bible. Get to the Bible, go through the Bible to experience the man. We're not supposed to be a people who can quote a bunch of verses. We're supposed to be a people that know God. And we're not looking for stories. We're looking for God and to pursue him. Probably get in trouble for saying that. I'm probably going to get in trouble for keep saying I'm going to get in trouble. All right. Can I point something out to you from Scripture? You know what serendipity is? All right, serendipity, that comes from the kingdom of serendipity. It was a children's story where a king had two sons and they were dense. So he sends them to look for a camel. They go looking for a camel. They never found the camel, but they brought back everything else. Serendipity, and we got the phrase serendipity out of that, and it means to go looking for one thing and find another. Many a girl's told me I went looking for love, and look what I brought home. Serendipity means to look for one thing but find something else. This is a great serendipity. We were created to search for Him. Tell me, what's the number one thing Americans are looking for today according to polls? Tell me.
Happiness.
How come they're not finding it? Listen to me. Listen to Scripture. You can't find happiness looking for happiness. Thus, you look for happiness, you're not going to find it. You can probably find a mess. People are looking for meaningful lives. One thing I love about this younger generation, they don't want to just make money. They want to make a difference in the world with their jobs. Well, I applaud that. People are looking for, is there a meaning to life? Do I just eat and burp and try to have some fun and croak? Is that all there is to life? Something in our hearts says, no, there's more to it. People are looking for meaningful lives. How come we're not finding them? The discontentment in our land, according to Mr. Gallup, is at an all-time high. My cell phone can reach Mars. Why am I not happy? What's the deal here? We're looking for prosperity. We made more money than the next three nations combined, and everybody in America is broken in debt. What's wrong here? Buying junk we don't need with money we ain't got to impress people we don't even like. What's wrong with this? Looking for love. Everybody's looking for love. How come we can't find it? In other words, we're looking for... In other words, you don't find this stuff looking for this stuff. It's a serendipity. Listen to what the Bible said. Seek you first. You live your life to look for God. All these things will be added to you. Listen to this. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Quit looking for happiness. Go looking for God. You'll have more happiness than you can take home in your pickup truck. You want a meaningful life? Hand it to the one who created it. Just look for God. Everything is found in our search for Him. I'm going to show you one of the greatest verses in the world, and I want you to see it a little different. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Gets quoted at every high school graduation. Let's look at it. Jeremiah 29. It's the craziest thing. They quote this verse, but everybody leaves half of it off. Let me have you know, it's like the guy who says, the guy at the Dodge place said he'd give me a new truck. I thought, hey, that's great. You might have should have stayed on the line. He said, I went back. He said, yeah, if I bring him $700 a month for 80 years, he'd give it to you. You should listen to that part. Dear ones, listen to the whole verse. Listen to everything he says. This is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. And I want to show you something here. I want this to speak to you personally. This is for you. Jeremiah 29. Watch these words. Now, this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, is translated different ways in different Bibles. Let's look at it. Look at these words. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Does your Bible say that? I know the thoughts I think toward you. Some Bibles say, I know the plans I have for you. But in the Hebrew text, it should say thoughts. Now look at these words. I know the thoughts I think toward you. Underline the words, I think toward you. What's the word toward mean? It's the Hebrew word about. Listen to this. Here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11. I think about you. I think about you. Who's saying this? You think God thinks about you? I think about you. How many of you thought about your children when they were young? How many of you, before your kids were born, you thought about it? What did you think about them? Well, you thought what he did. Look what he says. I think about you. I think about you having peace in life. I want you to have peace in life. I think about how I don't want evil to come in your life. I spend my time thinking about, I want to give you a future. I think about you having hope in life. You know, God's thinking about you. What's he thinking about? Now, if a religious spirit has got a hold of you, you think he's thinking he's mad at you. He's not mad at you. What does it say? I think about you. I think about you having peace. I think about you having no evil in your life. I think good. How many of you did this with your kids? Before my children were born, I'd sit and think about them and think about the good things I wanted to have. How many of you thought, I hope they get on drugs? Did you think that about your kids? Did you think when they get here, I'm going to tear their butts up? Y'all thought about that? We think good thoughts for our children. In other words, we want good things to happen to our children. I dreamed about my children. I'll never forget the house we're living in now, built it 21 years ago. I'll never forget the Sunday evening I was building the porch steps to the front. And I just stopped and put the hammer down and sat there for a minute. It was Sunday evening. And I sat there for just a while and thought about all the fun we were going to have right here on these steps. I could see me and my children sitting there. And as I was working in the living room, I just would sit down and think about all the great times. I could see our family having Christmas there with our kids. I know the plans I have for you, plans for good. I think about good things happening to you. There was the heart of God. The mind of God has you in it. I think about these things for you. Now listen, you need to say, amen. Everybody quotes this verse, but listen to me. You're leaving half of it off. Look at verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm thinking all these thoughts about you. What's the second half? But you got to chase me. You got to search me. And what's the problem? There's one of the greatest promises in the world right there in that verse. If you'll search for me with your heart, you will find me. What happens when you find God? You find all the peace you're looking for. You find everything you're looking for. This man hung the stars in space. What happens when you find the guy who hung the stars in space? This guy created romantic love. What happens when you find him? This guy created everything there is. What happens when you find him? Listen to this. I think about you a lot. I think about you, but you got to chase me. You say, well, Brother Bond, I don't understand why, if he's so good, why do I have to chase him? Ask him when you get there. But he has created himself to be chased. He hides himself to be chased. Now, let me help you here. Listen to me carefully. Get this. It's not, you can't find my will. That's not it at all. That's religious garbage. You're too bad for me to, that's not it. Any of y'all, I know this is evil. Baptists don't like this, but I've already made them mad already. I better knock it off. They got my retirement in their retirement account. How many of you were backslidden evil and you hid eggs for your children at Easter? Did y'all do that? A lot of churches are against that. Well, I did it. None of you did it. I did it. We hid eggs for our kids at Easter, and we'd hide them everywhere, hide them in the grass, hide them in the bumper in the truck, hide them in the little, we hid them all over the place, and then we brought them out there. You know why I hid them? Hoping they'd never find one. That's why I hid them. I hid them eggs because I didn't want them kids to have them eggs. And there was an egg out there's an egg out there, had a $5 bill in it, and by God, I didn't want them to find that one. I guarantee you I didn't want them to find that one. No, knuckle, no. Guess why I hid them eggs? I wanted them to find them. I didn't hide them eggs I hid them eggs for them to find them. And listen to this, guess what I did when they was looking? I helped them. Getting warmer, right here, come. Getting warm, come right here. Oh, you're getting colder. Get away from over there. I helped them find them, and then I rejoiced when they found them. That's Jeremiah 29, 11, and 13. Wow. He has hidden the greatest life for you, but you got to search for it. But he's not hiding it from me. He's hiding it for you. He wants you to find it. There was that treasure hidden in the field. He put it there so you could find it. The marriage every heart longs for, it's out there. But you got to look for him. Not yet, him. The secret to a great marriage is not to learn to understand a woman. Good luck, Doc. Can I get a male witness? Can I get a base amen in here? God almighty. The secret to a great marriage is when two people chase God. It's like the spokes on a bicycle wheel. Without even trying, you'll connect. At the hub. Everything in the Bible goes back to chasing God. It all goes back to him. I'm going to tell my boy a story. I got time. I've told this a time or two, but I'm 65. Forgive me. This is one of the greatest pictures. Let me share something with y'all. This is just us tonight. We can talk. What's going on in Christianity today makes my head hurt. This thing has gotten so complicated. 9 ways to bind the spirit of dirty dishes off your dishes. I thought, what is this stuff? 18 steps to protect you. Y'all drive me nuts with these goofy books. It is so simple. I'm going to give you the Bible in an illustration. I've told this before, so if you've heard it twice, pardon me, but you need to hear it twice. Turn of the 19th century, there was an industrialist who was very wealthy. True story, very wealthy. And he was a very wealthy man, inherited most of it. But like Mr. Vanderbilt, he multiplied it. But he had a wonderful wife, and he adored her. He worshiped the ground she walked on. And when she got pregnant, he was delirious. Because even though he was wealthy and a businessman, his joy was family. Well, had a little boy, but when the little boy was born, she died in childbirth, and it like killed him. But he had the son, and that son became the center of his world. And he hired a nursemaid. She looked after him. 5 years old, the boy contracted some disease and died, and it broke his heart. He died within a few months. Had the sale to get to liquidate his estate, massive holdings, tapestry, paintings, all that stuff. And they had the auction one day for his estate. And the auctioneer, the people came, looked at the guy there, got ready to start the auction. The auctioneer started the auction. He said, first item, Now, this would be 1905, 1910, somewhere in there. Y'all remember them old, the photographer said, throw their rags over their heads and the whole thing would go poof. Y'all remember that? The pretty primitive pictures. But he had a picture of the boy. And he said, I want you to auction the boy's picture off first. He said, the first thing we auction is the boy's picture. Well, the people didn't come to get some cheap picture. They came for his stuff. And he said, who bids for the picture? Nobody bid. Finally, at the back, a lady, somebody said 25 cents. It was the nursemaid who'd come to the auction. She couldn't afford the nice stuff, but she wanted the picture to remember the boy by. He said, anybody else? And now the folks get it on. We want his stuff. So finally he said, sold to the lady and back for 25 cents. She came down, took the picture, bid dear treasure to her. He hit his gavel, said the auction's over. The man said in his will, auction the picture of my son off first. Whoever wants my son, give him everything else I've got. Amen. I heard that and I said, what does the Bible say? 1 John 4, he who has the son. Right. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Quit chasing his stuff. Right. Chase the son. Chase the man. Because if you get the man, you get everything else he's got. Comes a place in everybody's life where you got to make a change with Jesus. Here it is. John chapter 6, he had fed them, healed them. In John chapter 6, he got in a boat. He went across the water and the people chased him there. And he came out and he said to them, you're following me because I fed you. In verse 27, he said this, don't quit seeking the meat that perishes, temporary food. Seek the meat that endures to eternal life. It's time to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man. It's time for you to quit chasing what I can do for you and start chasing me. And from that time, many of his disciples walked with him no more. And there comes a day in everybody's life where Jesus says, I've been good to you. I've paid your bills. I got you a job. I've kept you healthy. But there comes time when I want you to chase me for who I am. I want you to pursue me. And that day comes, and dear ones, let me tell you something. Chase the man, you'll get everything he's got. Chase the stuff, you'll be empty. Just chase God. All right, let me quit by saying this. I said, okay, Brother Brian, I see what the Bible says. Faith is to believe there's a God, and if you'll chase him, he'll reward you with himself. What's the reward for pursuing gold?
Gold.
The reward for pursuing God is God and everything he's got. You get him. By the way, the greatest treasure you'll ever know is the presence of God. It's the fellowship of God, and all the other stuff comes with it. All right, this is a little controversial too, but this is my night. Here we go. Brother Brown, suppose I wanted to start chasing God, where would I look? All right, now my wife says, you've seen my cell phone. I said, go look on the counter. You try to help people know where to look if they're looking for something. If I were to chase God, where would I go? All right, let me go back, Jeremiah 29:13. You will find me when you search for me intellectually. You'll find me when you search for me with your heart. You don't find God with your head. This is the great mistake of American Christianity. We're trying to figure things out instead of break our hearts and search for him. All right, but let me suggest some places you can start. Number one, he wrote a book. I would suggest you look in his book. And don't get hung up in Leviticus. Listen to me. Don't. Fine. Abinadab, beget, Abinadab. I don't see nothing in here. Don't ever read this book unless you close it and put your hand on it and say, speak to my heart. This book without the Spirit of God will kill you or bore you. But if the Spirit of God breathes on this thing, this is a love letter from the one who loves your soul. Don't listen to me. Listen to me. I'm having trouble. Go on. Quit quitting so easy. Press in there. Listen to me. If the man says you'll find him, you'll find him. We have got to become like Jacob of old. Jacob needed help. He was looking for God. And the Spirit, the Bible said an angel, but it was really pre-incarnate of the Lord Jesus. He met him one night and Jacob grabbed him and said, I will not let go of you till you bless me. What kind of man would dare grab hold of God and say that? He said, I bet God killed him. No, he didn't. He would not turn him loose. And the Bible said at day, they wrestled all night. What's this wrestling with God stuff? Because we got to quit sitting on our fannies hoping something good happens. You got to push in sometimes. Seek ye the Lord. And he held on to him. And at daybreak, the angel said, turn me loose. It's daybreak. Jacob said, I will not turn you loose till you do something for me. And the angel hit him right here. And the Bible said it put his hip out of socket. And do you think God got mad at a man who grabbed him and said, I will not turn loose till you do something for me? The Lord said, because you have wrestled with God and prevailed, I reward you. And I change your name today from Jacob to Israel, from deceiver to prince, because you're a prince with God. Apparently, God likes people who grab hold of him and say, I will not let you go till you bless me. This, well, we're praying and a-hoping. You ain't doing neither. You're just goofing off is all you're doing. You got to make up your mind. I will find you. I will look for you till I'll find you. Got to get some oomph in our souls. Listen to it. He rewards those who diligently seek him. American Christianity has become so kumbaya-ish and so... We need to get back to the Bible. No, but I'd suggest his book. Number two, there's this thing called prayer. You need to press in prayer. Go somewhere quiet. Don't quit praying for stuff and just tell him, I want you to talk to me. I'm looking for you from heart level. Number three, here's where I get in trouble. Oh, no, this number three is okay. Nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. He has revealed himself through that which is created. You want to get to know God? Go out in the wilderness somewhere and look around and say, where are you? I say, in the stars, his handiwork I see. On the wind, he speaks with majesty. You know, go look for God out in nature. You'll find his revelation. All right, here's where I get in trouble. Church? Maybe. I'm not being unkind. You're just probably not going to find him in church. I'm not. If the Bible's true, Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But don't let it discourage you. I work in a church for a little while longer. There's nothing wrong with church. I mean, we need to go. But you know, let me tell you something. I'm sorry. You're just probably not going to find him in church a lot of times. Sometimes a little bit. I don't know. I shouldn't have said that. But there is a group of people you can find him in. Let me show it to you. 2 Timothy. See if you've ever seen this before. You find him in his book. You can find him in prayer. You can find him outdoors. And you can find him with a certain group of people. But listen to me. You'll find him with your heart. There's a guarantee that you will find God when you look for him with your heart. And you've got to find him. If you can't find him, he didn't tell the truth. That man is pure truth. But you'll find him. All right, 2 Timothy. This is, I don't know if you've ever seen this verse or not, but it's a great truth. This is talking about chasing God. And I want you to look at what he says here. I get tickled. Verse 22. Flee youthful lusts. Some of you need to do that. I don't have to worry about that anymore because I'm not a youth anymore. All right, you need to run. There's some things you need to run from. I can't get a witness on that. It says it right there. You need to run from some things. Why are you praying when you ought to be running? There's a time to pray and there's a time to run. Do you remember Joseph as in coat of many colors? He was in that house and that woman grabbed him and said, lie with me. He didn't say, let's pray, sister. He'd have got killed. What did the Bible say? He fled out of the house and left his coat in that woman's hands. There's a time not to pray. There's a time to get the hell out of Dodge. Stuff like that starts. Can I get a witness? Flee youthful lusts. Watch this, but pursue. Somebody tell me what the word pursue means. Chase. You chase righteousness. That doesn't mean you're trying to be right. Listen to me. Listen to this. Righteousness is a gift from God. Romans 5:17. How much more shall those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness rule in this life through Christ Jesus? You know where righteousness comes from? Chase God. You pursue, you chase righteousness. You chase, there's four things. You chase faith. Guess where faith comes from? Faith comes from hearing from the voice of God. Chase God and you'll have faith. Chase peace. I've already told you, love, peace, where that comes from. Watch this. With those who what? Sleep in a church on Sunday morning? Those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You find you some folks that are chasing God and you get with them. What does that tell me right there? Find some people that are chasing God. Those that are calling on him from the heart. Out of a pure heart, and you get with those people, and you chase God, and you chase him with people that are chasing him. And to folks at your church are chasing him, run with them. If they ain't, leave them asleep. Let them go on. But the deal is, you listen, you'll find him. My passion in life is to chase God. We need to change this thing from professional ministry or trying to be a good Christian. You just chase him. Here's the promise. You'll find him. Everybody finds him. And let me tell you how you know you will find him. You will find the desires of your heart. Let me show you one more thing before we quit. All right, 3 minutes. 4, 2, 1, whatever. Turn me to Psalm 42. Let me make you a promise here. I meet people all the time and I ask people, do you know Jesus? Do you love God? Are you a Jesus man? And they'll say, yeah, I go to church. You know what that tells me? They know the address of their church, but they ain't never seen God. That's not how you answer right there. A while back, I was in a store, a BP gas station, a little convenience store getting gas. And I forgot what I heard. I'm on one shell aisle and I hear something on the other aisle over there. And I heard a voice, and I could tell it was an older woman's voice, and she was singing. And I mean, it sounded like an angel singing. She was singing. I forget the exact hymn, but she was singing. And I don't mean she wasn't singing as she shopped. She was singing. It wasn't loud, but it was passionate. And I said, what meaneth this? And I went around, and I turned that thing around over the corner, and this older black lady, and I looked at her. She saw me looking around the corner. I said, ma'am, do you love Jesus? She said, son, come here. Well, I knew I'd done found me a God chaser in the BP then. I like to miss the fishing time trying to get away from her. She didn't just go to church. She went to God. She'd found him. And she was the happiest, it was just all over her. And then now we're both singing together in the BP, having a grand time. Find you folks like that. And I'm going to give you a promise. I'm not, he is. This again is that great Psalm, 42 and 43 are almost identical, 42. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you. My soul thirsts for God, not for the theological God, for the living God. There, that's your heart right there. Your heart's looking for the living God. And so I've been in church all my life. It don't do nothing for me. Then the living God's never been where you were at church. Your heart longs for the living God. Ask this question. When do I get to appear before God? When's he going to touch me? When will I experience God? My tears have been my food day and night while they mock me and say, where's your God? Well, they can hush. I know, watch this. He talks about the joy. Now, how many of you talk to yourself? You need to start. King David talked to himself. Watch this. Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted? What was he saying? Why are you so bothered? Why are you so upset? He said, I'm searching for God. Why are you so disquieted? Means restless. Why are you so unhappy? Watch these words. Verse 5, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. What did he say? I know he's not present right now, but God's going to touch me. I'm going to find God. And I'm going to experience his presence, and I will enjoy everything my heart's ever longed for. Now, let me show you something. You need to memorize that psalm right there. That psalm reveals the depth of your soul, that what your soul is looking for is God. You say, Brother Brown, you said a while back that Madonna's looking for God. No, she ain't. She's vile. Let me tell you something. She was created by God. She was created to search for God. And in her heart, she's looking for God and don't even know it. And that's why Madonna keeps Madonna, and Madonna is my age. She needs to put her britches back on and straighten up. What is she doing monkeying around at her age? You know what? Mick Jagger, 84 years old and still can't find no satisfaction. You know why? He's looking for it in the wrong place. His heart, every human heart longs for God. Not religion, not rules, but God himself. And your heart will never explode till you find God. His presence, his spirit. And when you do, you'll say, that's what I was looking for right there. So what I was looking for right there. Now listen, I want you to have faith. I want you to believe what he says. Tell your soul, talk to yourself and say, settle down. Relax. We'll touch God. I'll find him. He'll draw close to me because I'm chasing him. I want you to know you will find him when you search for him. And if anything on this planet appeals to you more than in the presence of God, you've never been close to him yet. I don't know. Son, it's like eating at my wife's Thanksgiving table and then going to a Cracker Bar. Keep it, Doc. Nothing on this planet should appeal to you after you've touched God. Everything else looks like the junk that it is. We got this treasure hidden, and you'll find it when you search for it. And then you're going to be like that old lady in that BP. You're going to walk around singing, and people are going to think you weird, but you're just wonderful. All right, you know what's going to happen? Last thing, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Is anybody here saved?
Yes.
Okay, four saved. All right, get to heaven, and everybody going to come into heaven, they're going to be going, wow, yeah. And I'm going to be standing there saying, told you so. Told you so. I told you. Told you. Settle down. Settle down. The Lord's in his holy temple. Let all that keep silent. Settle down in here. Knock it off. Get some dignity about you. And you're going to be cutting cartwheels across the court, and I'm going to say, my, 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 look at there. Why wait till then? He's the same now as he is then. All right, you've got all you can stand. Lord Jesus, I just praise you and thank you. We were created to chase you. Nothing on this earth, I've been blessed with so many things. I love the outdoors. I love to fish. I love my sweetheart. I love my family. I love my friends. I love baseball, help Judge hit 61. I love this stuff, Lord Jesus. I love the great food you put here. I love the mountains, but my heart longs for you. It's not the stuff you provide, it's you. Thank you. My wife cooks for me, she cleans for me, she washes for me, but that's not it. I love her. I love the woman. We were created to love you, to experience you. I pray for every person in this room tonight, they'll hear your word. You'll find God if you'll look for him. And if you'll just live to look for him, you'll find everything your heart's looking for. And we'll still enjoy the stuff, but Lord Jesus, I just got to say it. This religious stuff that we do in this nation today is so distasteful compared to you. I don't mean to be critical, but it's like a stale rice cake compared to the glory of God. So I pray for every person in this room, and I thank you hear my prayer because you created them to love you. You created every person to experience you, to be touched by your spirit, hear your voice, know your goodness, experience your peace, experience your prosperity. Knock their socks off, Jesus. That's all I got to say to you as they search for you. They say, well, I don't know what to do. Yeah, they do. I pray we get up every morning and just say, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you in what's created. I'm looking for you in your word. I'm looking for you in my life. I'm just running hard after God. And I thank you that much like I hid those eggs for my kids, it wasn't to keep it from them. I wanted them to find those eggs. You've hidden yourself so we can find you. And I thank you and praise you. I want everybody to know why they were created. I give you the praise and glory in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.